Hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ryan, and today we have with us Dr. Molly Corder. Molly, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So hello, everyone. My name is Molly Corder. I'm a PGY2 ambulatory care pharmacy resident at St. Joseph Health System in Mishawaka, Indiana. And I'm excited to be talking to you guys today.
So we're really excited to have Molly here today to talk to us about some of the new oral therapeutic medications for COVID. So I know we're all really excited that these are coming out. I worked at Walgreens over the Christmas break and we got our first memo about who was going to be carrying them and everything. And we just thought this would be a good time to talk about it. Just as a disclosure, we are recording this podcast on January 13th of 2022. So this is the data we know as of today, but we know things can change quickly with this. But just to start, Molly, there's been a lot of coverage about two new oral therapies. Could you kind of quickly introduce our audience to these medications?
Sure. So yes, keep in mind that things are rapidly changing as we learn more about these medications. However, kind of the two medications that are really taking the heat in the market right now that recently got emergency use authorization through the FDA, we do have Paxlovid, which is a medication that has a combination of actually two different ones in it. So we have nirmatrelvir and ritonavir in it. So nirmatrelvir is actually a protease inhibitor, while ritonavir is also a protease inhibitor, but it's also a CYP3A inhibitor. So it works more to boost the nirmatrelvir. So kind of like you see in HIV regimens, it will boost the actual component that can work against COVID. So that is Paxlovid. The other medication that's getting a lot of press right now is our other oral antiviral, molnupiravir. This medication has a really fun mechanism. So it actually kind of in a way jumps in and kind of hijacks the viral replicating material. It leads to an accumulation of errors in the viral genome, leading to just inhibition or not being able to replicate. So some people have coined it as your viral error catastrophe or your viral lethal mutagenesis. So those are a lot of fun to say.
Can you just go a little bit more detail? What's the difference between these two medications?
Sure. So let's see. They're both used to treat mild to moderate COVID-19. There are some key differences to keep in mind. So Paxlovid can actually be used for anybody over the age of 12, so 12 or older, whereas molnupiravir, you start with age 18 and up. There is a weight cutoff for Paxlovid, and that is 40 kilograms. So the patient has to be at least 40 kilograms. There's not currently a weight cutoff that we know with our molnupiravir. There's also slight differences when we think about the side effects between the two medications. So Paxlovid comes with a lot of actual GI intolerances, so taste perversions, paresthesias. We don't have any current information in terms of pregnancy and lactation. However, something to keep in mind is molnupiravir. There are kind of strict guidance for what we should be doing in terms of pregnancy and lactation, because animal studies have suggested that there's a potential fetal risk. So they do recommend using appropriate contraceptive methods during molnupiravir therapy, plus an additional 4 days after stopping the molnupiravir therapy, you should continue contraception. Other than that, a few things to keep in mind. Paxlovid, because of the ritonavir component in there, there has been coined a lot of drug-drug interactions. So this should be something that anytime a patient is being started on this medication, a pharmacist should be checking the drug interactions. All patients that are on, say, our HMG-CoA reductase inhibitors, specifically lovastatin and simvastatin, they should be educated on monitoring for myalgias and myopathies, and just even for lovastatin and simvastatin, they should discontinue the medication at a minimum of 12 hours post the last dose of the statin prior to initiating Paxlovid. And then they should hold for 5 days of treatment with Paxlovid. When we look at our other statins, so atorvastatin, fluvastatin, and pravastatin, and rosuvastatin, there's a little bit less of an interaction, but they should still consider holding the dose while they're on this therapy. So when in doubt with your Paxlovid, check for drug-drug interactions. I will say for molnupiravir, there's no interactions that we know of yet, but that is changing rapidly. Things are always being learned. Something else to keep in mind is the actual data behind these two medications. So for Paxlovid, there was an EPIC-HR trial that compared Paxlovid to placebo, and the primary efficacy endpoint is, I think, the one to note. So this was proportion of subjects with COVID-19 related hospitalizations or death from any cause through day 28. And it was significant in terms that the relative risk reduction for Paxlovid compared to placebo was 88%. So this medication came in stronger than our molnupiravir, and this trial was actually the move out trial. The primary efficacy endpoint was very similar to the EPIC trial in terms of proportion of subjects with hospitalization or death from any cause through day 29. And we saw an adjusted relative risk reduction compared to placebo of only 30%. So these two medications, to my knowledge, have not been studied against each other quite yet, but versus placebo, we have found that there is a greater efficacy with Paxlovid. Personally, I've seen in health systems, a lot of times Paxlovid is kind of the one to choose, or it's kind of the first line, and then molnupiravir is a last line option.
I think it's really interesting that you're talking about these relative risks and everything, because I think in the lay media, or even just when I'm like talking to people, people really feel like these are going to be the silver bullet. This is what's going to end the pandemic. This is going to fix everything. And when I think about like Tamiflu, which these seem to be pretty similar to Tamiflu, and you know, no hate for Tamiflu, but like that doesn't fix flu. Like, and so I think it sounds like people are having too high of expectations for these medications. Would you A or B agree with that? And then How does the introduction of these two drugs really do? How does that change our fight against COVID?
Sure. So I will say, when we consider all of the medications or options that we do have for COVID right now, I mean, this is novel. This is exciting. I don't think it's going to be a cure-all. I don't think it's going to be the end to everything, but you know, it is another option for patients. Something else to keep in mind is that these are for outpatient. This should not be used in patients that are actually hospitalized. Now, if a patient started this medication regimen and ended up in the hospital, they could continue the therapy. However, you should not be starting this medication in patients that are already in a hospital bed. So I think it is exciting, and I think we're going to learn a lot about it over the next few months. It's a great move for pharmacy as well, because I know in our physician offices personally, we're getting very involved with the dispensing and educating to patients. And I think right now it's exciting. It's kind of like a glimmer of hope for people just everywhere to think we have more options. We have more next steps, especially considering some of the other oral medications that we all know do not have great data behind them.
Yeah, there's certainly those home remedies out there as well. So I'm glad to see that we have these studied things and emergency use authorizations in place. I'm also excited because pharmacists are really taking an active role in the prescribing and dispensing of these. Can you touch some more on what that role is?
Sure. So I will say this is likely very health system or pharmacy dependent. I've heard of some places that are actually starting with start to finish. So they want to even do the COVID testing. And then from then they can discover if they can start the medication themselves, dispense it, educate the patient. I've seen some health systems adopt ways of just simply dispensing the medication. The pharmacist is the one to make sure they're checking that the patient meets all the criteria when the physician prescribes it. And then personally at our health system, what we're doing is we're actually taking an active role in educating the patient. So if the patient is dispensed the medication when a pharmacist is not around, we're actually charged with calling the patient to educate them on this medication. So I think it is a great step for pharmacy to be fully integrated in this. And I'm sure we'll be learning a lot as things go on, but hopefully this is a good next step.
Yeah, I know at least in some states, pharmacists are able to independently prescribe this based on a positive COVID-19 test. So I'm excited to see how that goes. I certainly am excited for pharmacists to use their knowledge. Well, Molly, is there anything else that we should know before we let you go on these two novel treatments for COVID-19?
So there are some common just things to watch out for in terms of when you are educating your patients, if you are in a position to educate your patients. So with Paxlovid, this medication is to be taken twice daily, and it's 5 days, and the patients need to keep in mind that it's two different tablets. This can be taken with or without food, and you do need to watch for renal impairment and hepatic impairment. For our molnupiravir, some of the most common side effects you can anticipate with patients is your diarrhea, nausea, dizziness. So just letting patients know. I think it'll be more common to see Paxlovid used because the data is stronger behind it, but that could change as time goes on. And we might learn more about molnupiravir as time goes on, just like we will Paxlovid. So I'd say when in doubt, just continue looking at your resources and your drug information databases, because this is likely going to be a very rapidly changing situation.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise on these two new therapies, and I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for joining us for this episode of the Pharmacy Preceptor Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like or subscribe. We would love your feedback on topics that interest you and how we can make this podcast better. Please submit your comments to help us develop content that serves you. Thanks, everyone.